Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. Is there finally an uprising in Israel we can get behind? Shh. Turkey and Syria are quietly deepening their prophetic fulfillment. We'll share some wise words from a U.S. senator. And were President Trump's latest comments tongue-in-cheek or deserving of a tongue-lashing? We'll take a look at that plus much more as we explore the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, August 22nd. 2025. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with those that you know need to hear what you're hearing. You can read the articles we talk about, or you can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or just grab our handy Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who wants to know why there's enough asphalt for speed bumps, but not enough to fill potholes, and that's Pastor Mark, who recently got his bank account hacked. Oddly enough, though, the hacker left him a note asking him to please save more money because this was a complete waste of time.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. What are you going to get if you hack me? There you go. That's what you get. Go for the big boys.
That's right. That's what you get.
I love it. I love it.
All right. Well, I think we will just get right into our article.
Absolutely.
This week.
Okay, yep. There's a lot to talk about.
Our first article in our Israel category this week, Pastor Mark, comes from Fox News, dated August 17th. Hamas faces rising backlash as Gazans speak out despite the risks.
Yeah, and I may use this kind of as a launching point to talk a little bit about what's
sure.
going on over there, a little bit more in depth. Oh, and by the way, so that I don't forget, because I may by the end, we have the prophecy guys that are going to, prophecy pros will be here this weekend at Calvary Knoxville.
Yes.
So I want to mention that now for Saturday night and all three services Sunday morning. So Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson will be here. They're going to be doing our youth conference here tonight and tomorrow. And then we have tomorrow evening and three on Sunday where they'll both be sharing, alternating back and forth with some great prophecy updates from the Middle East and around the world. And these guys are great. If you've heard them before, you're going to love it. And they were with us here when we did our prophecy conference back in February with Jack Hibbs and all that. So it went great. But either way, yes, again, so I'm prophecy. What a great time to the prophecy show. We have a prophecy weekend coming up. But this the rising backlash by Gazans. The bottom line is the people there in Gaza are realizing Hamas is going down, and they don't want to go down with them. Listen to what it says. As Israel prepares to expand its operations in the enclave, a quiet resistance is emerging against Hamas. In eastern Rafah, teachers are laying the foundation for the first schools focused on peace and tolerance under a non-Hamas civil administration. Samira Musa Muhammad Abu Musa, one of the educators.
That was very impressive, by the way.
By the way, they have names like we do in the South. Remember, we've got five
Billy
names.
Tom Bob Parker, or
yes,
whatever.
There you go. Billy Joe Tom Bob Parker. Well, see, we have five names. They have four and five names, so we can say it. I can say that. It flows
yes,
off.
Yes, you can.
I grew up around that. So anyway, one of the educators told the Center for Peace Communications in an interview, he said, "I despise Hamas because they were discriminatory. They were extremely biased. Even when posting jobs, you had to have connections to get work. So what's happening is there's cracks within their own people there under their government following them because they don't govern well. He says, people like me yearn for peace, comfort, hope, and safety. We want to live in an environment free of war, shelling, and destruction. We've been living through war for 2 years, and we will begin again and restore education, God willing. So, he's, you know, hey, we want to see things. We want somewhere to live and somewhere to go, which is interesting. I don't know whether or not they're going to be letting them stay, you know, even remain there. I'll talk about that in a moment. But let me finish the article. The efforts in eastern Rafah mirror the broader shift across Gaza. Citizens, educators, and activists are increasingly rejecting Hamas, calling for a government that serves civilians, not a terror organization. So they're saying, look, we want a new government. Al Natour, who is also the president of Palestinian Youth for Development, says the number of people opposing Hamas has dramatically increased since October 7th. And I quote, there used to be some opposition to Hamas, you know, already, in other words, he says, but after the attack and the consequences that followed, there's the key. More and more people in Gaza despise them. The suffering caused by Hamas actions has turned the tide. So you had Hamas that wasn't really popular already, but everybody was okay. All right, they're our leaders. We don't care that much. And then they did this, and some people are going, you know what? If they're not fully on board with Hamas, they're like, hey, we're tired of this. Our whole region is destroyed.
Yeah.
And so what are we going to do now? You know, he mentioned in there about wanting to get them back to some level of normalcy or sense of normalcy, Greg. There's not going to be much normalcy left by the time this war is over. So much of the Gaza Strip has now been leveled. It is rubble. And now you've got the last a section there that they're moving in on, Gaza City and some of the surrounding areas. They just approved, I was reading today, I don't think we have an article, so I can...
No, but I saw it online.
Yeah, they just approved today.
Well, maybe we do. No, we do. It's our next article.
Okay, well, I'll wait on that then. But the bottom line is that, look... where are they going to, they're making plans about rebuilding. I don't know, Greg, that they're going to be able to rebuild. Now, before we go to the next article, let me just say this.
Or maybe it is. I don't know. We'll see. If well, not, you can talk about it.
Yeah, but here's the bottom line. Look, Israel realizes Hamas has to go. And they're not going to go by just saying, pretty please. They've got to go in there and physically remove them. They've got to go in and conquer Gaza City and force Hamas right. out and do this. And there's not going to be much left because most of it is destroyed already anyway. Three-fourths of Gaza Strip, I think, is already pretty much wiped out, half to three-fourths. And so they made the agreement today. They're going to go in there and finish the job. President Trump is backing Prime Minister Netanyahu. And it's very interesting to watch what's happening. Again, you've got the disarming now of Hezbollah that has begun. Just today in the news again, these are articles we don't have, but in the disarming of Hezbollah up north, they've already got some of them turning their weapons in. Now, Hamas that are up there, they're not turning their weapons in yet. They're saying we have to, until we, you know, wipe all Israel out, we're not going to turn our weapons in. This particular group, Hamas, they're not going to do anything unless you make them.
Right.
But they've already started disarming the guys up in Hezbollah. So we're getting a safer environment up north. Again, Syria, we'll see an article that we have about them linking with Turkey, but that's just leading into Ezekiel 38 and 39. They're not threatening Israel right now. Again, Yemen. Every so often, a drone comes in, something small, but Israel's dealing with them. Even from the Navy is attacking Yemen, has recently in the last week or so from the sea, and I think they're looking at more targets they may hit them on. I think Iran is still too shaken to make any big move right now. So Gaza is the big deal, and if they get Gaza, which they will, the world's pitching a fit, really Satan's pitching a fit. But once Gaza is dealt with and taken care of, there's going to be, I mean, a seeming... as much peace as you can have around Israel, there's going to be a seeming peace around Israel. Jordan's not a threat. They've always had, on paper at least, a peace with Jordan, and they travel back and forth. The Israelites and the Jordanians go back and forth. So my whole point in this is that it's interesting to watch, amazingly, what's happening historically, you know, with the nation of Israel. And I should put all these articles in there, Greg, but do we have an article about what the new building that they're doing there?
That's our next article.
Okay. See, I want to make sure sometimes I look at all these, so many different sources of news, they run into each other. But the bottom line is that you're seeing the Gazans that are left, as this article says, some of them are saying, look, we've had enough of this. We want something different. Hamas is on the way out. And it's going to be interesting to see what Israel does and how the world reacts when this all settles.
I want to address something that you brought up in the beginning of the article regarding their inability to work.
Yes.
What was that about again?
He says here that they are discriminatory and extremely biased. Even when posting jobs, you have to have connections to get work.
Okay. Now, let's give the contrast to that. And this is prior to October 7th.
Right.
Okay. For those people that think that Israel's committing genocide and all this kind of stuff, Israel has done everything that they possibly can to help the people have a good life to the extent that they're allowed to help people that are under the control of another governing body, if you will. You can't even say a government because they're not a nation. So Israel, for years, were issuing work permits to these Gazans for them to come in and work in Israel to have a living.
Yeah.
And nobody and nobody talks about that.
That's right.
And
that's
so in contrast to Israel trying to help the people in Gaza to sustain a life for themselves, they have to, I don't know what kind of maze they got to run through in order to get a job with their own people.
Well, that's the thing. And what a contrast. I mean, Greg, listen, all these contrasts we could make with Hamas and Israel. If Israel, again, if Hamas laid their arms down, there'd be peace. If Israel laid their arms down, they'd kill all the Jews.
Yeah.
If you know, and if Hamas, again, Israel's letting them come in to have jobs, trying to help them, and now their own people, Hamas won't let their own people get jobs unless you have the right connections. Look, these guys are not good people. They're evil, and they're led by the enemy, and they need to be dealt with, and God's dealing with them through Israel. The world doesn't see it. I know that. And they're attacking Israel because of it, but this is a spiritual battle. This is not a fleshly battle. It's playing out in the fleshly realm, but this is a spiritual battle, and I believe God is dealing with Hamas there in the Gaza Strip.
Our next article comes from the Times of Israel, dated August 20th. Smotrich rejoices as settlement plan that, quote-unquote, erases a two-state delusion gets the final green light.
Yeah, this is very, very, I mean, as he said, historic, but it indeed is. And let me explain why. I'll read the article to our listeners and try to, you know, give you an idea of what's going on here. But it says a major construction project that would be some 3,400 housing units built in contentious E1 area of what is called the West Bank, but is Israel, biblically, between Jerusalem and the settlement of Ma'el Adumim was given final approval Wednesday. Announced last week by Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich, the controversial plan was formally greenlit by the Higher Planning Committee of the Civil Administration, a Defense Ministry department. Smotrich called the decision historic. He described the construction plan as a significant step that practically erases the two-state delusion and consolidates the Jewish people's hold on the heart of the land of Israel. He cast a dramatic move, which will effectively bisect the West Bank as retaliation against Western states that announced plans to recognize a Palestinian state in recent weeks. Meanwhile, the Palestinian Authority slammed the approval, saying it undermines the chances of a two-state solution. The E1, which again, I don't know that it will or not. The E1 settlement project had been frozen for decades amid fierce opposition. Note this. From the international community. Again, the world doesn't want this. This is where the spiritual battle comes in, because you have the nations of the world giving their opinion about what Israel should do in their own land. What if the international community was telling America what to do? We'd say, you know what? Go pound sand. We're not going to do that. Anyway, it goes on. It says they feared a building a new settlement in the neighborhood on mostly empty tract of land would rule out the establishment of a contiguous, viable Palestinian state. Here's the setting. And this is why this is so amazing. But now it could still all fall apart, even if they build them. And I'll tell you why. Israel is Israel. God says that. God gave them the land. God took them out for 2,000 years because of their disobedience to and rejecting their Messiah. And God said, in the last days, I will bring you back in the land. So God brought them back in the land. Some were still there, but he's bringing them back in larger numbers since 1948 when they established themselves as a nation. Again, many people argued about how the land should be divided up because the UN recognized them as a nation, and now you're creating a recognized nation by the world rather than God's boundaries, which God set up. I get that. So there they have it. Now, arguments went back and forth. Again, the same thing. Hamas and all these radicals, they wouldn't agree to anything. So it changed multiple times. Matter of fact, they had it way better. If they'd agreed initially, they'd be sitting in a great place right now with their own state. But because their only goal is kill all the Jews, they blew their opportunities, and now they're where they are. So you've got it broken up into different areas. The whole nation of Israel has all these dividing lines in it. They call the middle of Israel the West Bank. It's not the West Bank, it's Israel. It's the middle of Israel. But they call it the West Bank, and what they mean is that they call it, say, the western boundary or the border of the lines of Israel, where now you have this other land that's kind of like no man's land. It's not really, it's not Palestinian, it's not Jordanian, it's just kind of, you know, West Bank. So it really belongs to Israel, and Israel forever has been wanting to pull that in and make that a part of the nation of Israel. But again, as they've tried to do that, the international community says, no, you can't build any houses here in the middle of your land, because we may want to divide that up and give that to somebody else and make that their nation. Well, it's not their nation, so what are you doing telling them to do that? So they never would, with international pressure, they never would approve moving forward, and even American presidents and leaders fought against them moving forward and putting all these things in place there in the middle of Israel. And so now what happens is you've got an American government with President Trump who's pro-Israel, so you have a support of an American president. You've got Netanyahu who's pretty much saying, look, this is the land that, you know, the Bible says we're to have, and it's our land because it was given to us, and here we are. And they're saying, why can't we build houses on it? Jews are flooding back in. I think we have another article talking about, we'll have something about France, where I'll address how they're being forced back in. So we do have another article. You didn't know that's where I was going with it, but I will. But either way, and so they're saying, look, finally, we're going to reapply for our permit to build in this area, basically. And then finally, the permit people said, you know what? We're not getting heat from America. We don't care what the international community says, because Trump is everybody's daddy. And so we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And so they approved it, and they're about to build 3,400, starting out with all these houses in between there. And he said, now, why is that a problem? Okay, if the Jews build all those houses there, it's kind of now really, even though nobody wants to call it that, everybody kind of knows it's Israel. Well, it's Israel now. They're going to come under the governing authority of Israel. They're going to come under the taxes. It's Israel. So you can call it whatever you want it, but it's Israel. And they realize this is doing away with territory they wanted to try to make into a Palestinian country.
Is this the area, Pastor Mark, where they're going to build these homes? Is this the same area that they had to evacuate during Bush's administration?
No, that actually, believe it or not, you know where that was? You ready? Gaza.
Interesting.
They were in Gaza. There were all settlements in Gaza.
I knew it was down there somewhere.
No, they actually.
You're talking about on the West Bank.
Well, here and that, but that leads perfectly into my point as to why this may not stand. Here's the bottom line: if they start building all these homes and they say, "Okay, this is now Israel, and you've got all these homes here. You can't put a nation here. We've got all our homes. We're under the government. We're paying taxes. It is officially Israel. We're declaring this land ours. We're annexing it. Here we go." You think, okay, they're safe. They're good. We're good to go. It didn't work in Gaza. Because when they were down in Gaza, when the pressure came on, they actually went down there and forcefully made them leave. Yeah. Now, it wasn't considered Israel, but Gaza was still under the control of Israel. I guess that region where the houses were was under the control, and they forcefully took them out. So, with that said, number one, they've got to start building them and get it done before Trump's out. Because once he's gone, it may not work.
Yeah.
Number two, you've got a situation where even if they build it, and there's enough pressure from a new president in the world, they may make them go in there and empty all those houses out and leave. And it wouldn't surprise me, Greg, for them to force the Jews out of their homes and then let people, the Palestinians, move into those homes that they didn't pay for and just give them to them at the expense of all the Jews that spent all that money. That's how the spiritual battle goes. That's how much Satan hates the Jews. That's how the spiritual battle goes. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see that happen. But again, this is very, very encouraging news. In that it may silence or slow down some of this talk about a two-state solution and give them more land that they need. Again, Jews are moving back. They're being driven back to the land.
By God.
Yes, and we'll see more of that in a moment. But when they're driven there, Greg, you've got to have a place to build. And if they block off big portions of the land and say, you can't build or buy land here, it's like, well, what are we going to do? We're too crowded here. Now they're going to be able to say, look, we've got this vast area of land. You can buy land from the nation, go in and build your homes. It's going to get really exciting. And again, the spiritual battle's raging, but it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
All right, as we head to Ezekiel 38 and 39, we will stop by All Israel News and pick up an article dated August 20th that says Turkey and Syria quietly deepen their military and intelligence cooperation.
Move that tank right over there.
Yes.
Hand me that missile. You would put this in that bunker. Yeah, again, look at this. Again, we expect, remember, Turkey to be, they're going to be one of the major players in the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle. And although Syria is not mentioned by name, that they're obviously there. And so their region is included, although God didn't mention them. We don't know why. But their region is right there. And sorry, my eye's itching there for those watching online. The radio guys didn't need to know that, but I scratched my eye. Anyway, Syria is going along. And it's interesting, Greg, when I think about Syria not being mentioned, I wonder, could this be after the destruction of Damascus and Syria as a nation is gone by the time the battle takes place? Maybe that's why they're not mentioned.
You know, I never thought about that.
Me either. Not till just now. But who knows?
Wow.
Either way, you know, it's either prophetic or pathetic. Either way, let's go on. Look what it says. Syria and Turkey held meetings earlier this month during which the two countries signed an agreement for Turkey to modernize the Syrian military. More notably, according to a former Free Syrian Army officer who spoke on condition of anonymity, the talks focused heavily on creating a new interior ministry information branch intended to channel intelligence from Syria to Turkey. So again, working together, which we would expect, according to the anonymous source, the main tasks, at least for now, of the new information branch would be to collect and analyze information on the cross-border activities, dissident networks, and potential Israeli or U.S. operations in the south. This is about, and I quote, this is about more cooperation, the former FSA officer explained. It is Turkey planting a permanent flag inside Syria's security services. And so Turkey's expanding, which again, doesn't, all this does is further expand Ezekiel 38 and 39. Like I said, they're either going to kind of get melded together here and they just aren't mentioned, or we're going to see the destruction when it comes to Damascus and Syria as a nation. And either way, this is exactly the kind of article we would expect to see happening right here. We wouldn't expect to see Syria and Turkey are fighting and Syria is pushing Turkey back. We wouldn't expect that. But even if that happened, you still have the idea that maybe Syria is going to be gone by the time this takes place. So interesting to watch what's going to happen there with Syria and Turkey.
As we head back to America on our boats and planes, we come across an article from All Israel News dated August 15th. This is one of those preach it articles. U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham tells fellow Republicans, if America pulls the plug on Israel, God will pull the plug on us.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how accurate he is.
He's very accurate, yes.
Yeah, he understands. And Greg, we know there's a lot of people attacking the idea today that modern day Israel is still Israel, or that modern day Jews are still Jews. Like somehow that changed genetically, and now they're no longer Jews. And
that's a work of the enemy, by the way.
It is. And again, we see guys like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens being used to kind of promote this stuff. It's nonsense. They're really being used, I think, you know, to promote this in ways that aren't good. But the bottom line is the Bible tells us in Genesis 12:3, speaking of the genetic descendants of Abraham, and I know some might say, no, that's the spiritual descent. Oh, it's both. God is clearly speaking to the genetic descendants of Abraham, and later we find out, included with them, the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And what is that? That is that I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And so Lindsey Graham nailed it, you know, when he said, hey, you pull the plug on Israel, God's going to pull the plug on us. I think one of the reasons we've not been judged by God with a nation that is in such rebellion to God is because we've stood with the nation of Israel. And I quote, to my people in my party, he said, I'm tired of this. Referencing the fact that criticism of Israel has become more commonplace among conservatives. Israel is our friend, he continued. They're the most reliable friend we have in the Mideast. They're a democracy surrounded by people who would cut their throats if they could. That is so true. This is not a hard choice if you're an American. Again, a while back he was saying, look, if you, the bottom line is Israel's going to do their best. They may be enemies with Hamas and all that, but they're going to do their best to try to do this the right way. And if they get injured, they'll actually take him to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
If a Jew or Israeli soldier is behind the line, they'll just kill him right there. There's no care. There's no hospital. Maybe keep him alive to torture him more and to use him as a hostage. But again, there's such a difference. Graham went on to say that siding with Israel is not a hard choice either if you're a Christian. He also praised U.S. President Donald Trump for his consistent support for Israel. Graham's unwavering position stands in contrast to a small but growing faction within his own party, that is the Republicans, that have voiced sharp criticism for Israel's actions. Conservative American political commentator and television personality Tucker Carlson began publicly criticizing U.S. support for Israel and questioning the U.S.-Israel relationship at least as early as April 2024. Last month, Carlson accused Israel of committing crimes in America and claimed that Jeffrey Epstein was an Israeli agent. Let me just say this. Even if he was,
yes,
what does that have to do with Israel?
With anything.
You think that our government would not and is not using every single person they could as a spy to further the benefit of America?
Yeah.
I mean, who are you kidding? If Israel had said they could find somebody that would further their information flow, they don't care who it is. We don't care who it is. No matter how yucky the person is, if we can find out what's going on behind the enclosed doors in Iran with their leadership, we're going to find that out. And they're going to find that out. And whether it's Jeffrey Epstein and some island where people are, there's this kind of illicit stuff going on. Listen, this is gathering information. These people are unsaved. Our government leaders, many of them are unsaved. Most of the Jewish leaders are unsaved. They're going to get the information the way they need to get it. So when I hear somebody saying something like this, you know, Epstein was the Israel agent, it changes nothing. Like, why did you even say that? It's just an excuse to attack Israel. Green, a U.S. congresswoman from Georgia. So now we have
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, from Georgia. We're talking, really? You know what? They just said Green. You're right. No, you're right.
Is it G-R-E-N-E?
You're right. I thought, who is Green, this congresswoman? I wasn't thinking about,
Marjorie Taylor
because
Green.
I don't know why they called her Green. Maybe I cut part of the article
that's her last
out.
Name, yeah.
But I mean, I'm like, listen to her. Became the first Republican in Congress, and I remember her saying this, that's right, to refer to Israel's military operations in Gaza as genocide. She knows better. That is nonsense. You know what? That is absolute nonsense. Give me a second on this.
Okay.
We've talked about this in the past. If Israel wanted to commit genocide, this would have been done in a week. It would have been done in a week. It could have been done in a day, but maybe not to go in and go nuclear. They could have gone and taken a week or two and just scraped everything and just killed everybody. They've got the power to do that.
Indiscriminately.
It's not about genocide, which genocide is indiscriminate.
Yes.
No. And as a matter of fact, the population, according to Hamas's own statistics, the population in Gaza has grown since the war began. That's the opposite of genocide. It's going the other direction. People are throwing this word around because it's a very emotional, dramatic word. And it's a way to say, look how horrible they are. It is just demonic. It is Satan doing the same thing he did with Israel in the Holocaust. It's the same thing that Haman did in Esther.
That was genocide or an attempt thereof.
Absolutely. Look, genocide has been toward the Jews over and over again. Genocide is when you go out and try to kill them all indiscriminately. That is not what Israel is doing. It is not what they've done from the beginning. It's not what they tried. Look, why would they have not gone in and wiped everyone out up to this point? Yeah, they're going to go in now and finish the job, but good grief. Over coming up on, 2 years now since this thing started? And they hadn't done anything? Guys, I don't think people understand what genocide means. All this is an emotional thing to get people riled up. It's genocide. And then they say there's starvation. Look, I get it. In war, there's sometimes a meal. It's not, you can't just drive up to McDonald's, drive up window, and get your normal burger. But the reality is there are loads and loads and truckloads of food in Gaza. The pictures are coming out. Their markets are filled with food. It is a lie by the world, and by which the enemy, Satan's leading all this, mm-hmm. to try to turn people away from the nation of Israel. And to think that Marjorie Greene is doing this whole thing about genocide, I can't believe she's bought into this. I know she's an extremist and out there on the right, typically, but I'm surprised.
And she's you would classify her as a MAGA conservative, but she's wrong on this issue.
Absolutely, but I would have to think that she probably doesn't. You know, she's probably not a believer, since she's attacking Israel. Yeah, but either way, and that's up to the Lord. I know all that, but typically believers stand with Israel. But either way, Lindsey Graham has it right. We've got to stand with Israel, and if we keep standing with Israel, we're going to be blessed. If we don't, well, we're in big trouble. So we need to get our act together and continue to stand with Israel, which I believe we'll do as long as President Trump is in office. I'm concerned about what happens if the pendulum swings next time. We've got big problems on our hands as far as our accountability to God.
That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news. On WIAM-LP Knoxville, we are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 377.
which is easier to listen to than a GPS giving directions in a tunnel. At least we know where we're going, well, most of the time.
You take a left to Sawtelle. Take a left to Sawtelle. You know, if you come to, you know, Bernie Sanders, if you go to, you know, if you go to Bernie, you've gone too far left. You want to swing back. You want to swing back to Jen Psaki. You want to swing back and revisit this. We're going to come back around.
We're going to circle back.
We're going to circle back. It's going to be the biggest, greatest circle back you've ever seen. Now, I still don't have him, but anyway, I threw something out there for you.
The GPS
came close. All right.
And now. Pastor Mark, we've got two questions this week. Our first one comes from Kennedy, enjoying Signs of the Times out in Greenback.
Yes.
And the question is pretty simple. Will we retain our earthly memories in heaven?
Yes, and I get this question a lot, Kennedy, and I want to encourage you, yes, we will, to some degree, and then will it be eternal? I'll get to that in a moment. But first of all, yes, because the Bible says that once we enter the kingdom, we will know as we are known. And what that bears out in the language is that you will recognize people and you'll know who they are instantly. They will recognize you and know you instantly. And so the question comes in, what about those memories? Now, here's where this gets a little dicey. We know in Luke 16, where the rich man and Lazarus go to Hades and Abraham's bosom, they certainly have their memory. The rich man remembers Lazarus. He remembers what his life was like, and he's lamenting the fact that he didn't give his life to God. Lazarus and Abraham, really, but Lazarus doesn't speak any there, but we see that Abraham speaks for him and is talking to the rich man. And Abraham has his memory. He says, hey, you had your things while you were in that life, and Lazarus is over here now. So again, we do see that right now in this, in when there was paradise and Hades, which paradise has now been emptied out and is now in heaven, we do know there were earthly memories. We definitely will know each other in heaven. The question is, will the memories carry on? So this is where there's a debate, and I don't know that we can nail this down theologically, because there were some that will say, some theologians say, yes, you'll remember those things. And then some say, no, the Bible says that all of the former things will be forgotten, because it does say that. So is that talking about all of our memories? Here's what I do know. If we do carry on memories into eternity, we're not going to be grieved by them. We will be only filled with joy, only filled with excitement and happiness. There will be no remorse in heaven. There's going to be no sorrow.
No sorrow.
Yeah. That's right. So if we do have memories, it'll only be in some kind of supernatural way where now we see them through God's eyes and they'll be a rejoicing thing. Or else those memories will all be erased. And I guess we'll find out when we get there, because again, theologians argue about that. I don't know of a scripture that nails that portion of what I said down.
Okay. All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Paul, who is enjoying Signs of the Times south of us in Seymour, Tennessee. And his question is about opportunities for partial blindness. He says, will Jews who died before the tribulation and the return of Jesus have an opportunity to recognize and accept Jesus as their Messiah? Or are they in the same boat as the Gentiles who have died without accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? God only, quote unquote, partially blinded Israel. Does this mean God has provided everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, with the opportunity to hear the truth and make their own decision about Jesus?
Yeah, again, another great question. The answer is, yes, there is a remnant that God will allow and is allowing of the Jews to be saved. And the way it talks about it, Paul, it says there's a remnant. There is, again, the Jews as a whole have been blinded by the Lord, and they can't see the truth of the gospel. However, God has reserved a remnant. He has reserved a portion, and we don't know how many, but my guess is 1/10. Because God works in tenths and tithes all through the scripture. But again, that's speculation. Either way, God has reserved a remnant of Jews, and there are Jews saved today. Because those that are blinded can't see, but since the nation is only partially blinded, there are those that can see. They've gotten saved, they know Jesus, and they're going to be in the kingdom of God. And so, you know, how God does that, God sees the heart. God knows the heart of man. God knows, you know, the choices they'll make. And so, you know, either way, that's up to the Lord in how that works. But the reality is, yes, there are those who are saved now. There are those who will be saved prior to the Great Tribulation. And Once the Great Tribulation begins, there will be many Jews that will be saved. And again, I know you probably know that from your question here. I don't think you were questioning that. God's going to pour his spirit back out on the nation, and there's going to be a great move of God's spirit where many Jews will be getting saved. But yes, they are only partially blinded. Some Jews do have their eyes open. They see Christ. They're in the kingdom. And truly, it is when you run across a Jew today that knows the Lord, it truly is the remnant of the Lord that he has had mercy on.
Okay. If you've got a question for Pastor Mark, just visit our website at thewaymedia.net, click Signs of the Times, and submit your question, and we will talk about that on our next episode. And for this episode, episode 377, we'll roll into some growing anti-Semitism. Our first article comes from Fox News, dated August 16th. Manhattan protesters chant globalize frittata amid... they're not wanting breakfast. I'm sorry. They're globalize infittata. Okay, not frittata. Yes. Amid a bipartisan pushback.
Yes, that's
right. But I could get behind a frittata.
Yes, that's right.
Globalize frittatas.
Yeah, a tuna frittata.
Yes. That was good. Okay. Some people will get it, some people won't, yes, but that's right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Now, here's the thing I want our listeners to focalize, because I said globalize, to focus on globalize. That word is the operative word here that is huge. But look, infittata is bad enough. That means wipe out the Jews. It's code for wipe the Jews out. But globalize, it means kill the Jews worldwide.
Everywhere. Anywhere you find them.
And there's been an uptick now, Greg, in the rhetoric. It's not just, you know, go after the Jews there because what they're doing there in Gaza. No, go worldwide and wipe them out. And that's what this is about. Thousands of anti-Israel demonstrators reportedly flooded midtown Manhattan Saturday afternoon, calling for a global infittata, a slogan many view as an incitement to violence against Jewish communities. The Stand with Gaza protesters carrying signs seeking to end all aid to Israel clanged cowbells while chanting free, free Palestine, and Palestine will live forever. Again,
I know
noisemakers.
Yeah.
New York City mayoral candidate Zohran Mamdani, a self-proclaimed democratic socialist, recently sparked controversy after failing to publicly condemn the mantra. And I quote, condemning it. Listen to this, how they speak this. They get out of it with all this I don't even know what the word ease add to it. Just legally, not legalese, it's just confusion. Condemning it should be common sense, but... Okay, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to. That means forget what I just said.
Yeah.
But some would rather play politics than tell the truth, he said. The violence and hatred directed at Jewish and Israeli people is reprehensible. No one, especially in America, should have to live in fear for their safety or even their life because of their religion and their ethnicity. Now, he says all that. But again, if you knew his other statements, the reason I said that it's just kind of this jargon, he's made it very clear that he promotes... Again, the destruction of Jews in Israel. He didn't believe Israel should be there. And for the longest time, he would go right along with all the global infittata stuff. It's only when the election starts coming up, he knows everybody's paying attention to his words, that suddenly he's like, yes, you should be condemning this, etc. Should be common sense. Again, this is doublespeak. Pay no attention to this, to the man behind the curtain. But what you got to notice here is they've been saying global infittata overseas for a while. Now in America, they're being bold enough to say global infittata here, and that is really its code for wipe the Jews out. Pressure is rising on the Jews, Greg, worldwide, and God is using it to drive them back home, which our next article will point out.
Yeah, when I first saw his name, I thought it literally said Mad Manny, and I thought, well, that would be perfect because he's a madman.
You know what? That's probably the best way to say that from now on is
Mad Manny.
Mad Manny, yeah.
Anyway, all right, ynetnews.com, dated August 27th, this article, Israel envoy warns of rising anti-Semitism in France, quote-unquote, some want to erase all Jewish memory. Now, I'm just blown away because how much higher can anti-Semitism get in France? Because it's already been strong over there.
Yeah, it is just something's happening in France again. You know what's happening, Greg? We've talked about these regional demons. I'm seeing that these demons are gaining new power now in Europe again, like they did in World War II.
Mm.
And again, as you watch the church lights go out,
Yeah.
You're watching now the enemy's darkness rise, just like then, and France was right in the middle of it. All of them. Matter of fact, the article is going to talk about they've not seen this type of hatred for Jews since World War II. Yeah, and listen to what it says. Israel's ambassador to France, Joshua Zarka, condemned a wave of anti-Semitism in France following the recent felling of a tree planted in memory of Ilan Halimi, the young Jewish man murdered in 2006 by a gang of barbarians. So this guy was murdered.
Yeah.
His mom plants a tree in honor of him, and it's not enough to say, well, we changed our mind. We hate him now, too. We're going to cut his tree down. Zarka called the act one of the most shocking events. I mean, that takes it's an extra level of abrasiveness to go and to attack the dead and really the family and the memory of those that are trying to remember their loved ones. Noting that Halimi was tortured for days before being killed. So it was a horrible way they killed him anyway. His mother then planted a tree in his memory. Despite it just being a tree, people came and cut it down. These individuals want to erase all memory of Jewish life in France, he said. That is exactly the case. Satan is not, it's not good enough just to attack Jews. He wants to kill them all and erase their memory. Sad news for him is he's going to be the one that's going to be wiped out, and he's the one that's going to have his memory erased. The Lord's going to deal with him. But anyway, the article goes on. Zarka described the surge in anti-Semitism as unprecedented in modern times. We are facing an enormous wave of anti-Semitism in France and across Europe. It is something not seen since the last century with the rise of Nazism. The major outbreak occurred on October 8th, 2023, when even as Israel mourned its dead and counted the kidnapped in Gaza, crowds took to the streets in Paris, London, New York, and elsewhere, shouting death to the Jews. I mean, they didn't even give time for the dead bodies to be buried. The escalating anti-Semitism is prompting many French Jews. Here it is. Notice this. This is, look, God's not doing this necessarily,
but
God's using it. And again, we'll leave it to what God is doing. I'll leave that in his hands, but he's using it for sure. It says the escalating anti-Semitism is prompting many French Jews, the second largest Jewish community in the world, to consider moving to Israel. And I quote, it is no longer a question of whether to make Aliyah, which is moving back to Israel, or Aliyah, however you want to say it, but when and under what conditions, Zarka said. Some community members are reportedly making extraordinary preparations, such as converting savings into gold to bring to Israel, evoking memories of pre-World War II precautions. Again, some of the same things happening from World War II are now happening again to this modern day generation of the Jews. And note this, again, what does the Bible say? In Isaiah 43:6, it talks about, I'll say to the south, give them up, to the north, let them go. God is saying, I'm going to be calling them back to the land in the last days. God is now calling the Jews back to the land. And here's the situation. Think about how hard it would be for you to just up and leave. You've got your home, your family, your job. I think about people in California now that are wanting to get out because it's getting so bad. Well, that's one thing to say, I want to leave California. It's getting so bad. And a lot of people have. It's another thing to sell your home, pull your kids out of school, quit your job, move to a new area, find a new house, get a new job, get a new school. That's a big deal. So the temptation is, I'll just ride this out. This is yucky, but you know what? It's harder to move until it gets so bad, you're forced out. That's beginning to happen now all over the world to the Jews. And God knows they're not going to leave their homes and leave their jobs and leave their lives that have been there for centuries now, unless they're forced to. But God says, I'm going to bring them back to the land. So God is now using these situations to drive them out and bring them back to the land, which he said he would do in the last days, because that's what, again, it's going to take to get them there. But Greg, we're watching prophecy be fulfilled before our very eyes.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really interesting as you were talking about all that stuff, Pastor Mark, John 10:10, of course, comes back to my memory. And I'm thinking that the Lord talked about the three things the enemy wants to do. But I believe that God also put that in a specific order: steal, kill, destroy.
Yeah.
It starts off with stealing,
yeah,
then killing. But killing isn't enough.
Yeah.
Complete annihilation, total destruction. That's his ultimate goal.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he's going to be ultimately destroyed.
Yeah.
Because of his rebellion.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Anyway. All right. Speaking of destruction, corruption, disasters, plagues, pestilence, and all of the above, This is from Newsmax.com, dated August 20th. Record mosquito-borne disease outbreaks in Europe.
You know, interesting. Matthew 25, what does it say? There will be increased plagues in the last days. How this is happening, we don't know, but God said it's going to happen. Again, they're going to use it. They're going to say climate change and all these things. It doesn't matter. The Bible says it's going to happen in the last days, and now we're watching it begin to take place in even a greater level and in faster pace as we enter into the last days. This is just another, again, a fulfillment of Matthew 24. Europe has registered a record number of outbreaks of mosquito-borne illnesses such as chikungunya and West Nile virus this year, the EU Health Agency said Wednesday, saying climate change was contributing to the new normal. Now, here's the bottom line. Climate change. The Lord's going to hold all things together, the Bible says, and he will till it's all done. So we don't have to worry about man doing anything to the climate. Is the climate changing? I'll leave that up to the guys doing the research. God may use that in the last days. Certainly the climate will change during the Great Tribulation in horrible ways. But whether or not this is a part of it, anything to do or not, the point is you're going to see more and more of these type of diseases and illnesses rising. Europe is experiencing longer and more intense transmission seasons for mosquito-borne diseases, said the European Center for Disease Prevention and Control. Europe was entering a new phase where longer, more widespread, and more intense transmission of mosquito-borne diseases is becoming the new normal, said ECDC, a rocker. No, that wasn't a rocker. That's ACDC. I'm sorry. ECDC, different thing, directed Pamela, director of the ECDC, Pamela Rindy Wagner.
We're back in the black plague.
Yeah, well, yeah, she said they're back in black as far as the illnesses.
The illnesses. Yeah.
As of August 13th, eight European countries had reported 335 locally acquired human cases of West Nile virus infection and 19 deaths, with Italy being the country most affected by far, with 274 infections. So interesting. And Greg, it brings up a point. We're so crazy. Bill Gates has been giving these mosquitoes a certain type of malaria and releasing them in Florida. Why they would let him do that?
I don't understand at all.
Yeah, and they're saying that what will happen is they're going to bite people and it will prevent malaria or bad malaria or whatever. I think they're just spreading malaria. Don't get surprised if you start seeing malaria cases popping up in Florida and going, what is going on? It's crazy. This has nothing to do with the climate. It has to do with Bill Gates. Now, did Bill Gates agree with those guys in Europe to release some mosquitoes and nobody's telling us? Maybe there's more going on behind the scenes here than we know. But either way, when you start messing with nature, it is such a delicate balance that God has given us. Let nature run its course. And yes, there's going to be illnesses. We're in a fallen world. But man, when you start messing with that kind of stuff, whether it be trying to block the sun or letting mosquitoes go, I'm not opposed to modern medicine. I'm not opposed to antibiotics. That's great. Praise God for that. But when you start changing the environment or trying to release creatures with diseases out into the environment, you're going to get what you get. And I think we're headed for big trouble if this kind of stuff continues.
Well, and not only that, it's good for people to remember, too, that regardless of what you think about, quote unquote, climate change, it will never be solved at the expense of man. Yeah. It will never be solved by taxing you more, restricting your movements, deciding how much heat and how much cool you can have in your home. None of those things will affect getting rid of cows, methane gas, all that. Those are all ruses to get you to believe something that is not true. The ultimate goal of propagating climate change is to bring control over the mass population of the earth, which is part of the goal of the Antichrist.
This is all demonically
led through the guise of, we have to do something good for the planet.
Yeah, and see, Greg, what a great way just to back things up and give us that worldview again. You're exactly right. We need to see this from the spiritual sense, from the clouds, and not just from the earth. All of these things we talk about here is the enemy working behind the scenes, bringing the world to this one world everything.
Yes.
And so thank you for refocusing us on that, because that's exactly how these kind of things are and will be used.
By the way, we're very proud of you. That was a really good imitation of President Trump. You're getting better. No, you're getting better. No. Trust me, you are. You are getting better. I just want you to be encouraged.
If I could go beyond the GPS, that's where I'm going.
I know, but that's right. We'll get there. It's just this
we'll circle
little,
back.
We'll circle back a little bit. A little bit at a time.
Circle back.
Okay. The only reason I bring that up, because we're going to talk about President Trump again. This article from ChristianPost.com dated August 20th. Trump's comments over heaven have sparked a debate over salvation and works.
Yeah, it's in one way it's kind of sad because we're going to see that I think he's sincere. He thinks he can do enough good things maybe to earn his way in. But another way I want to encourage believers before we even hear this, it's also encouraging because it's exposing that he doesn't really understand salvation, which means now people can go to him and minister to him in a way that can bring him to salvation. So a lot of times you got to tear things down before you can build them up. Is that what God said to Jeremiah? That is what God said rather to Jeremiah. First, I want you to tear down, then build up. So first you got to tear down all the false notions of what you think it takes to get into heaven. Once that's all scraped clean, then you say, now here's how you really get in. President Trump's recent comments suggesting he could earn his way to heaven by ending the Ukraine-Russia war prompted a flurry of theological debate on social media regarding good works, salvation, and the state of the president's soul. I want to try to get to heaven if possible, Trump told Fox and Friends during a phone interview Tuesday morning. I'm hearing I'm not doing well. I hear I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole. I wonder who's telling him that.
I don't know.
And he says, I'm being told I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. But if I can get to heaven, this will be one of the reasons, he added, referring to potentially helping to secure an end to the bloodshed in Ukraine. So again, it's this whole idea I can do enough good stuff to get in. It's sad.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to defend him, but I'm just going to bring in scripture. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see the kingdom of God. So I don't know if he even thought of that verse as he said that, but anyway.
No, that's a good point. Again, I think that what's happening is you're seeing that, again, God, I think, is drawing him into a greater understanding. Yes. And I love that, again, Franklin Graham, very gracious in this comment to the president. He says, evangelist Franklin Graham said, President Trump brought up the topic of heaven on Fox News yesterday morning, and I'm glad he did, because many people struggle with the question of how we can get there. He said, we do get to heaven by good works, but not ours. It's by the perfect work of his son, God's son, Jesus Christ. So again, a good segue there. When he came to earth, took our sins to the cross, shed his blood, died and was buried, raised him to life on the third day. We all have the promise of eternal life if we repent of our sins, trust him by faith, and make him the Lord of our lives. Now, again, Franklin Graham, every time he has an opportunity, he gives the gospel. He always does that, which is great. Evangelist Justin Peters suggested Trump has been ill-served by some of his famous evangelical faith advisors if he believes he's capable of earning his place in paradise.
Again, you talked about one of those that you were concerned about,
lot of them I'm concerned about. Again, you know, he'll name them. Listen, how sad that after being exposed for many years to some of the most high-profile Christian, in quotes, preachers in the country, President Trump still doesn't understand the gospel. All these prophets like Paula White, Kenneth Copeland, Franklin Jensen. I don't know that guy.
Jensen, maybe?
Well, it's not Jensen.
Okay.
Maybe it's misspelled. But they've got it Jensen. Are giddy over their access to the White House and men who know these to be false prophets but chose to endorse them or at least turn a willful blind eye to them. He said, I'm not sure, Trump said, this is the real concern. This is what lets me know that he really's never made this his given his heart to the Lord. I think people are saying, yeah, we believe President Trump is saved. I think he revealed right here that he's not. And yet this is now we know we can pray for him.
Exactly. That's
and
the point.
It is a good thing. Again, we're not to judge people, but we are to be fruit inspectors. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. And so this is good to see the fruit here. It doesn't appear to be fruit of salvation, but that means now we can pray for the president that God would bring him into the kingdom. And now the people around him that know the Lord can give a more clear, concise gospel to the president. But listen to what he said. I'm not sure if I have asked God to forgive me, he told pollster Frank Luntz at the time. I just go on and try to do a better job from there. I don't think so. If I do something, that is, I don't think I've asked him. If I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into the picture. So, again, it's one of these things I'm not going to admit that I'm wrong about anything. So I guess I haven't asked God's forgiveness because I don't really bring God in the picture on something that I may be wrong. It says, Trump has been outspoken in his belief that God played a role in his unlikely escape from an assassin's bullet on July 13th. of 2024 in Butler, Pennsylvania. Some pointed out that Trump may have changed perspective after his near-death experience. He definitely did.
I think so.
You know, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, but God got his ear that day. And and since then, he's really changed. He's at least looking toward the things of God.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's now hope that he comes into the kingdom. So this is where now, if I was around him and I was one of his advisors, I would say, Mr. President, I just want you to know that it's not by what you do. It's not by the word. These are all good things, but it's through only through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you will ask God's forgiveness and confess his blood as your forgiveness and him as your Savior, you can be saved. And I know there will be those that do that. There are those who know him good enough and will have boldness enough to do that. And I think this is actually a great thing. It's not a bad thing, because if everybody thought, well, maybe he's saved and nobody ever presented the gospel clearly, he would have died without hope. But now it's become more clear that it appears he doesn't know the Lord. God makes the final call, but it appears from these things here he doesn't. Then this is where people can say, this is how you can enter the kingdom, and they can lead him into heaven. So this is very encouraging, I think, for our president.
Yeah, and I think it's also, we should be encouraged too with God's sovereignty in the midst of this situation, because not only do we need to keep praying for President Trump, but don't think that God is still not sovereign over everything. When God said to said about Nebuchadnezzar that Nebuchadnezzar was his servant, and Nebuchadnezzar was an evil king, and President Trump isn't, God's still going to accomplish what he wants to through President Trump, and I think he has as a result. And also, too, because President Trump, for whatever reasons within him, his care and concern for Israel, even though he's not saved, God is still blessing that, because Genesis 12:3 applies to anyone.
That's right.
Blessing Israel, regardless if they have a personal relationship with the Lord. That promise that the Lord made to Abraham wasn't conditional on your salvation.
That's right. That's right. It's just it's an unconditional promise.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some good news. Hopefully this is good news. You know, Pastor Mark, every time I hear stuff like this, sometimes I hear this generation's out, this generation's in. I don't know what to believe. But anyway, yeah. Fox News, dated August 17th, Bible engagement is surging as Gen Z is seeking spiritual meaning and truth.
You know, and again, it is encouraging in the sense, Greg, that I'm seeing a move in the younger generation back toward God. And I think what's happening is, and that's a pattern that God does throughout history, you know, people turn away from God and they think, oh, this is great, we don't need God. But everyone knows there's something missing. There's something not right. I'm empty. This isn't answering my questions. All the drugs, alcohol, sex, and everything else, this isn't making me happy. There's got to be more. And God allows that emptiness to overwhelm them and drive them back to him and back to the kingdom. And I believe that's what's happening. I think we're seeing it here at Calvary Chapel, and I think we're seeing it here in this article. The Bible's having a moment, it says. It's true. Younger generations are showing an unmistakable but surprising openness to the Bible. They're driving a sizable increase. They're driving a sizable increase in Americans who have seemingly rediscovered the Bible and made a personal commitment to Jesus, according to many sources, including a recent Barna study. The trend features a myriad of other Gen Z trends that confound older generations, such as their sharp decline in partying and teen drinking. There's a Catholic boom in France, the U.S., and the U.K., where the Catholics are on track to surpass Anglicans for the first time ever. Now, that's not exactly good news. You're seeing a resurgence of Catholicism, and that's not going to help them, because that's not going to lead them to God.
No.
But here's the point. It's young people being called back to God, and that's what's around them, so they're responding to what's around them. He says, but that's not to say they've abandoned technology. Indeed, they're still getting very involved in all the technologies. They're keeping technology, but they're also now including turning back to God with Bible apps and other things like that. The causes of these complex social patterns do not lend themselves to easy explanations, but as the former president of Ashland University said, I witnessed the stirrings of these trends firsthand. Students were earnestly praying for one another and engaging in a way that they'd not experienced previously on our campus. Faith Forward student group surged to new heights, and recruiters affirming that many students were attracted to our Christian ethos. The book of Nehemiah tells how the Israelites worshiped and wept when they rediscovered the scriptures in the temple after the Babylonian exile. They were seeking God with intense earnestness, intention, and openness. Those were people who confronted existential loss, confusion, and suffering while living in a foreign land. The fact is that we're daily seeing a desire for a genuine encounter with God. Here's the deal. People are empty. That's the reason. They're empty, and they're wanting a genuine encounter with God. It's clear that younger generations are hungry for existential and spiritual meaning and value authenticity and virtues that lead to lives modeled on truth. And so what a great article. Look, I know, Greg, you don't want to get too excited about something that may not be true, but I am watching. I'm watching in the young adults. There's something going, God is stirring them. They realize there's more to this than the party life at UT or whatever else. And now that they're out of UT, there's more to life. It's emptiness leads people to the Lord. And we see that pattern in Judges where they would fall away and come back, fall away, come back. We are in a good cycle, I think, where we may get to be a part of, who knows, maybe a last days revival. Wouldn't that be great?
Mm-hmm.
But again, my heart is today for those listening to the broadcast that you would have either a revival if you've walked away from the Lord and or that you would give your life to the Lord for the first time even now. Look, I want to share the same thing Franklin Graham shared a minute ago, speaking about the president. The Bible says that mankind all sinned. We fall short of the glory of God, and we are sinners. We cannot be saved unless someone pays for our sin. So God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to live for us on the earth a perfect life, to go to the cross, die on the cross, spill his blood because blood washes our sins away, only human blood, perfect human blood for people. Then he died, he resurrected 3 days later, and all who believe in him, the Bible says, will be born again. If you pray right now for God to forgive you and receive him as Lord and Savior and believe in his blood, you'll be saved. Make that prayer right now. Don't turn your radio off without doing that, and welcome to the kingdom of God.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mark, and thank you folks for listening. Don't forget thewaymedia.net for all things Signs of the Times related, plus other ministry content. We'll see you back here next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times. Oh.